What's happening, my beautiful people? You're now tuned in to the Big and Bright Podcast. Got my man Dan Goodwin in the building. It's the Big, and your boy D Naz is Bright. What's
what
happening,
up,
folks?
What up? What up? What up? What
What's
up?
The word? What it do? You know what I'm saying? Yo, NBA Finals, full effect. Golden State down 2-1, man. Golden State down 2-1 in a best of seven series. I still can't see Boston pulling this out over Golden State. No way, no hell, no how.
No, I couldn't see it either, man. I'm surprised that they're down 2-1. You know, that first game, you know, the first game in Golden State was the shocker to me, right? Yesterday's game wasn't necessarily a shocker because I figure, you know, it's the finals. You won one. You're going back to Boston. It's your first finals game there since the KG and Paul Pierce era. You know what I mean? The fans was going to be lit, and they was going to have something to prove when they came out there. So, you know, that's what they wanted to do. And, you know, they did their thing. I was surprised. Let's put it that way. I was surprised that they was able to keep it up. You know what I mean? I thought Golden State would withstand the initial onslaught and make a game out of it, and it would go down to the wire. But they pretty much led wire to wire. And, you know, it was really – Golden State was never, you know, in a position to win that game, in my opinion.
At all. And then now they're saying that Steph Curry is nursing an injury to his leg. And they're saying that he's guaranteed himself to play in game four. My thing is like, okay, Steph is doing his thing. You know, Klay Thompson had 20, finished probably the game with 25 or 27 points or something like that last night.
Right.
Steph, you know, had 30 plus. They were down by 18, almost choked away that lead. I find it funny that, you know, Boston is choking away leads against a one-man gang in Jimmy Butler, but then not choking away leads against Golden State, which is a far better team. I mean, folks, I mean, I want y'all to connect the dots here, okay? The NBA has to justify why the Boston Celtics are going seven games with the Golden State Warriors, when in actual reality, Boston shouldn't even be on the same floor as them. They shouldn't even be in the same vicinity. And that's just period, point blank. That's just the honest to God truth. So, I mean, you know, it seems like, you know, Draymond, he mucked up game one. I mean, game two. Draymond mucked up game two. And it's like, you know, in game three, the refs weren't calling absolutely jack squat or Billy Jack bull crap, as my man Rutt used to say. However, this whole game, it gives me vibes of we stringing it out. And I think the fans are tired of it. I didn't even watch it. After the first quarter, I turned.
So you saying there's a bit of histrionics, there's a bit of theatrics that are involved in this whole situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without a doubt. I just think it's like beating a dead horse, and it's like we already know the outcome of this story. Boston's not gonna win the series, folks. I can guarantee you that. Boston is not gonna win this series.
Something goes horribly, horribly wrong. Like, unless Steph is, like, for real injured.
Yeah, torn ACL, something like that.
Yeah.
Then, okay. But, you know, this whole it's just to build the heroics and the theatrics. Boston's not winning the series, folks. I would look for Golden State to take game four and then take game five and six. I mean, no, I take this back. Golden State will win game four. Boston will win game five. Golden State will win game six and seven at home.
Wow, so you're going seven?
Yeah, I think they're going to string this out to go seven.
I think it's going to go six.
Okay, okay.
And I think Golden State is going to win the next three games.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. So you're saying that's it for Boston. They won their last game.
They won their last game. That's just me.
Okay. Okay.
I think that's what's gonna happen. I'm of the mindset that I think there are some little bit of theatrics that are involved. I mean, just the whole schedule, the whole thing to me is kind of off.
Yeah.
Right. You started, and then between you got 2 days between the first two games, and then every other game is every other day.
Yeah.
To me, why wouldn't you have the two day break between game two and three, since you're flying coast to coast.
Yeah.
You're going from Golden State.
Yeah.
All the way to Boston. And you do that on, you know, on a quick turnaround. To me, you would put the two day rest period between those two games, but they didn't do it like that. So to me, you know, it is what it is. I'm sure that they wanted it to go, you know, until Sunday so they can get that capitalized on the money.
Yes.
You know, from the weekend games and things like that. Friday night is going to be massive. Sunday is going to be massive. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's money involved. It's money in play here. You know what I mean? How much is it dictating? I don't know. But let's be real. Whenever you got money that's involved and you got betting involved as well,
yes,
you better believe there's some people that are pulling some co-strings somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. They want it to go seven. They want, you know, right now, I'm pretty sure so many people are running to Vegas right now putting money on Boston. I'm certain there's many, many of people running to Vegas right now putting money on the Celtics. Don't do it, folks, if you're listening to this right now. Do not do it, because Golden State will reign victorious no matter how it looks right now. Remember, Miami was up on Boston the majority of that series. Yeah. And then Boston just magically took over and won the game in game seven. So
right.
That's just the reality of the situation, the theatrics that's involved here. So
here's my question.
Yeah.
What about Draymond, right? It's been a whole lot of talk about Draymond. Does he need to perform better than 2 points and four rebounds and three assists or something?
Absolutely.
Like that, or whatever it is?
Absolutely. Draymond needs to come back and give you about 15. Okay. He need to give you anywhere between 15 and 20. You know, 15 to 20 points. He needs to give you about 8 to 9 boards, and he needs to give you about eight or more assists.
You know what's funny about Draymond's game? Back in the a couple years ago when it was in the finals, he dropped a game where he had like what, 32,
yeah,
15 and 9.
That was game 5. No, I'm sorry, that was game 6. That was game 6 where he was trying to do away with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
He was in MVP discussions for that series.
Yeah.
How does a guy go from, I mean, and I like Draymond's game. You know, I'm not one of these people that beat up on Draymond. But how does a guy go from that to what he is now? And it seems like he just does not care about scoring the ball at all. Like he facilitates, and I get that. He plays defense, and he does that. But, bro, you got to
make them respect the fact. You got to make them fear the fact of you being a threat scoring the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
you gotta make them fear that, man. And I think somebody has to get a hold of Draymond Green and tell him that, like, hey, Draymond, I mean, duh, I love your game, I love it. I might tweet that out to him, like, Draymond, I love your game, I love everything that you do. You know what I'm saying? But you, in order for y'all to win in this series, you are going to have to put up at least 15 to 20 a night.
Give me 10 at this point.
Yeah, like, you're gonna have to become a consistent threat to score. And that's the truth about the situation.
I don't get it. I mean, you should be Draymond should be able to score 10 points by accident.
Exactly.
Because so much attention is paid to Steph. So much attention is paid to Klay.
Mm-hmm.
And now Poole.
Yeah.
And you got Wiggins. Draymond should be able to get little easy bunnies. Little
bunnies, easy layups.
You know what I mean? Like at least three of those, go to the foul line, hit two free throws. That's 8 points right there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He definitely has to bring more to the table. Like, come on, Dre.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You know, and everybody's like, oh, it's much ado about nothing. I get it. You know what I'm saying? I understand it. I mean, don't forget, Golden State struggled with Memphis before they figured them out. They struggled with, they really didn't struggle with Dallas. They really didn't struggle. Who was their first round opponent? I know they played Memphis in the second round. Who was their first round opponent? Do we even remember?
I don't even remember.
Yikes.
That's bad, right?
Damn. Yeah. I think their first round opponent was, it wasn't Utah. Was it? No.
Was it? No.
It was, Wow.
Let me see. I'm looking it up right now. Let's see.
Yeah, because they really didn't. They swept whoever. No, they didn't sweep. They won in 4-5. They won in five against. They won in five really their whole way. And then I think Dallas. No, they did away with Dallas in five. They did away with Memphis in six. And then I think they.
They played the Nuggets. Nuggets. In the first round.
Okay.
And they beat them 4-1.
And they beat them in five. So it was 5-6-5. And now this one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, 5-6-5. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know,
we'll see. But Draymond, you got to give us more, man. You're too great of a player to allow your team to be going down the way they're going down. And you know, I mean, granted, we knew that Game 3 in Boston was going to be what it was.
You think any of it has to do with like the national media? That's just my question to you. Like the national media is piling on Draymond, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All I hear is. I hear people saying the refs got to get control of Draymond and he's out of control right now.
Absolutely. Blah, blah, blah.
So does that take a little bit away from his game to where he doesn't, you know, I know he lives on the edge because he's passionate about the basketball game, right?
Right.
And I get that. I'm cool with it. I'm cool with the way Draymond plays. I don't mind it at all. Even LeBron came out, you know what I mean, this past week and was like, you know, I would like to play with Draymond because – I ain't never had somebody like that on my team.
Right.
That would curse me out.
I wonder if LeBron is trying to pitch his shot to go to Golden State.
Oh, he said he would like to play with Steph earlier in the playoffs season, like, man. Too. You know? This is not the first time that he said it. You know what I mean?
Imagine so, that LeBron comes and hitches his wagon to Golden State.
I mean, is it possible? Think about that though.
It will be possible after this season. Because I think this is LeBron's going into his final year, right? Contract year.
I mean, they could trade for LeBron if they wanted to.
They could.
And would the Lakers balk at that? I don't think so.
There's no way they're keeping that core intact if they asking for LeBron. Somebody's gonna have to go.
Somebody gotta go.
Yeah, somebody's gonna have to go. I mean, it'll be hard pressed. I mean, you know, but somebody will have to go. We would just have to see, like, that's why I said it more so they'll wait till LeBron hit free agency and then LeBron will go ahead and try to hitch his wagon to the Golden State Warriors. But, oh, my God, if that was to happen, like, come on, man. Like, you serious right now? Were you serious right now just so he could try to pass Mike and rings? You know what I'm saying? Like, I could see him doing that.
And he could, I guarantee you, he figures that, you know, if he went to somebody like Golden State, he could extend his career by an extra
4 years. 4 years, yeah, tops.
Easily. Yeah.
4 years, tops. With all that youth. Yeah. But I mean, some of them young guys will leave. Jordan Poole will leave. He wants to get the bag.
Yeah. He'll probably be gone. Wiggins will be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? But they like, we don't care.
I bet you the Lakers would take that deal. If Golden State went to them and said, we'll give you Poole and Wiggins for LeBron. Ooh. I bet you they take that deal.
I'm pretty sure they would, too. Just for the simple fact of the matter, they get LeBron off the books and can start fresh and anew.
Can start fresh. And Poole is going to be a, you know.
He going
to
be a.
He got the ability to be a star, bro.
Yeah, he does. He does. So. But switching gears off of the NBA. I know last we left you all, we were discussing a fight between our man Tank Davis and Rolly Romero.
Yeah.
My God. And another fight had happened and took place in between as well with Rolly Romero. Excuse me. Outside of Rolly Romero, we had Devin Haney.
Last week, yep.
Yeah, Devin Haney and Kambosos. And Kambosos is the one who embarrassed Teofimo Lopez and took his belt. So we'll start with the Tank Davis fight, and then we'll go ahead and we'll get into the Devin Haney and Kambosos.
Yeah.
So what was your – I mean, again, like I said, I thought Rolly was going to come out strong and apply pressure. He did. He applied pressure, and he got too wild. And he got caught.
He got caught.
And I mean, when he got caught, they showed him in slow motion. His eyes went crossed. when he got caught. That's how sleep he was. Big time. So what's your take? What's your take, Big? What's your take from that fight?
It's interesting, man, because like when I'm sitting there watching this fight and I was like, okay, Raleigh is chasing Tank. He's chasing him around the ring, right? And it looked like Tank was backing up. And I'm watching it with my homeboy. My homeboy, he's like, dog, Tank looked like he's scared of him. He don't want to swing with him. And I'm like, he's just measuring this dude, bro.
That's it.
He's allowing the dude to get comfortable. And as the fight wore on, I was like, look, Raleigh's way too comfortable right now.
Facts.
He got his hands down, and he was walking in with his hands down, right? And he just felt like, hey, I'm chasing Tank around this ring. It's what I'm going to do the whole night, and I'm going to put the pressure on him. I'm going to try to get up on the point score, you know, the scorecard like that. And that's what his goal was, it seemed like. But as you got more comfortable, he walked in there with his hands down, and it took a short, quick, in a blink of an eye.
Bow.
I mean, it ain't like Tank wound up and swung for the fences. It was just a short, quick one, boom, right on the jaw, and it dropped him, and it was over with. And that's because he was way too comfortable.
Yes, sir.
He felt good. He felt good about himself.
He got clocked.
Yeah, he did.
He got clocked. I was like, ooh, wee. You know, and the fact... My thing was, like, he talked a lot of shit, right? And it's like, it's cool that, you know, you talking shit. But, you know, be man enough to know that he was the better man. You know what I'm saying? You got caught. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Get up. You was the better man. You know what I'm saying? Yada, yada, yada. You know, congratulations. Whatever, whatever. He got up. Well, he got up. And one, number one, he was wobbly going back to the locker room. He was wobbly as hell. And he just left. And then the funny part about it is when he was walking back to the damn locker room, his dad, he was walking back with his dad. And then when he got, you know, when they got out of the arena and got back, you know, back in the locker room, his dad like left him, and Raleigh was wobbled in. It was damn near about to fall. Like, damn, you got caught that bad. Like, you got caught that hard. He didn't even want to speak. He didn't even want to speak to the ring announcers. He didn't want to speak to nobody in the back of the locker room. When he was in the locker room, in his own locker room, he didn't even want to talk about the fight. Right. You know, he was devastated that he lost. I get it, young blood. You were 14-0, now 14-1.
Right.
Use that, you know. I mean, maybe you come back, you know what I'm saying, later on down the line. But you got to come back harder. You got to come back more focused. He brought the fight to Tank.
Yeah,
he brought the fight to him. The first six rounds, he brought the fight to him. It's just the fact that he got too careless.
Yeah, his corner should have been up on that.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting back at home watching this fight, and I can say, look, he's way too comfortable. He's going to walk into – he walked into that knockout and knocked him out. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
He walked into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if I can see that, his corner needs to be aware and say, look, bro, you're doing work here, and it's cool. But get in the middle of the ring and make him come to you too. You know what I'm saying? You're the bigger man. You're taller. You got longer arms.
Jab him. You ain't got to rush in for the knockout. But the thing was, he was looking so much for that knockout.
He wanted it.
That he got himself knocked out. Damn. He was looking for that knockout. Because when he got clocked, I was like,
damn!
Like, yo, get up. Like, he got caught. Like, damn. And then the funny thing, Tank said, like, man, I didn't even hit him that hard.
Yeah, exactly. That's my thing. Because he was coming forward. When you're coming forward, and that just a quick blow, man,
it caught him.
Double the impact. You know
it caught
I mean?
Him. Knocked his equilibrium off.
He was done.
Yeah.
He was done. It was a wrap.
He got up. When he got up and did that little Harlem shake, and was like... I was like, yeah, he, man, he did that little Harlem shake. He stood up and was.
He tried to wipe the gloves. Nah,
yeah,
it didn't
tried
work.
To wipe
it
the did. Gloves. Like, nah, he done. The ref should have called it then. Like, yo, that's it. You're not there. You're not even there. But jumping from that fight to the fight that we had this past weekend with my man, Devin Haney, doing his best Floyd Mayweather Jr. impression on Kimbosis. Mm-hmm. He whooped Kimbosis' ass from the beginning to the end.
Bruh. Dog walked him. the
straight
whole
up.
Fight. I'm sitting there watching the album. Like, I didn't see it around that dude won. Haney won all the rounds. And he was never in trouble. He was never nervous. He was never, it was no issues. I mean, he slipped one time, but that wasn't a knockdown.
It was a slip.
Like that. Yeah, yeah, it was a slip. He was never in any trouble at all, man. It was never a point in that fight where you said, "Uh-oh, this dude might tag him." You know
right,
what I mean? Or,
right.
"Oh, that was a great," nah, he put on a display. A lot of people was talking about, "Oh, the fight was boring and this and that." But he drew some numbers on that fight.
Big numbers.
But
you know, out of that split, Devin Haney only got $3 million.
Right.
It was a 70-30 split, and he didn't care about the money. He just wanted it so he could take the belts. Now he could set his own price.
Yeah, and he went into his backyard.
That's and whooped his ass. Now yeah. people, now Kimbosis, now Kimbosis had a clause in there for a rematch.
Oh, you got to come to Vegas for that.
See what I'm saying? But who the hell wants to watch the rematch?
Nobody.
Who wants to see that? Like, you got the hell beat out of you. Who wants to watch that?
It wasn't close. I only want to see a rematch if the fight is close. The first
facts.
One. You know what I mean? I don't want to see you. I mean, come on, man. Who wants to see the same thing? Get dog walked around the ring again. I don't think so, man.
Like, dog, that whole fight was just like, damn. Yeah. He whooped his ass from the beginning to the end. And then at the end of the fight, when they was getting ready to announce the winner from the scorecards, Devin Haney's pops was right. So fucking lit. Like, he was ready to thump himself. He's like, "What the fuck you gotta say now? What the fuck you gotta say now, motherfucker? Huh? Huh?" And, you know, because they gave him such a hard time.
Right.
They gave his father such a hard time with getting over into Australia with his previous dealings with Birdman and them. He ended up getting indicted and catching a Fed case with, you know, on the behalf of dealing with Birdman.
Right.
Down in New Orleans.
Right.
And, you know, that was the thing. It was just like, okay, but he was on him, boy. He was on.
Yeah, he was.
You know.
Rightfully so.
Yes, you know sir. I mean? Yes, rightfully sir. Rightfully so. You know, and that's when he hit him with that, "What the fuck you gotta say now? Huh? What you gotta say now?" It was like, man, straight up, like, do your thing, Pops. I feel you, because he was pissed, man. He had every right to be. He was definitely pissed. So
yeah, when they were trying to keep him out of there, you know what I mean? That was just a play to me. It was just something to throw at him at the last minute, trying to get his mind off the fight. And it's a way, you know, you fighting in this dude's hometown, they was going to do anything to try to gain some type of, you know, edge on Devin Haney.
And that's why he didn't leave it close. That's why he left no doubt. Like, all right, I'm just going to whoop your ass.
And I don't think he really went for a knockout. I think he just went to, "I'm going to beat the brakes off this dude for a long period of time."
Straight up.
12 rounds, you're going to get dogged.
Straight up.
12 straight rounds. And that's what he did.
I like the fact that Devin Haney is so classy. Like, even after whooping his ass, he like, "I know," I whooped your ass, you know, "but I ain't got to tell you I whooped your ass. And I still give you respect after the fight." Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't dog him. He didn't say anything bad about him. You know what I'm saying? He still gave him. It was just like, I whooped your ass flat out.
Right.
And, you know, and after the fact, it was just so I love the way he handled himself. He reminds me of the young Floyd Mayweather when he was Pretty Boy Floyd.
Pretty Boy Floyd. And
not Money Mayweather.
Right.
Speaking of Mayweather, also it comes out that the big smoke dust up before the Gervonta Davis Raleigh Romero fight, that Tank was going to leave Mayweather Promotions. Well, come to find out, then later on, after getting that big ass paycheck, Tank came out and said he's going to stay with Mayweather Promotions. What do you think about that?
I know where the money is.
Damn right.
Money talks, man. You know, when you have the ability to make that money, and he knows attaching himself to Mayweather going to do what he can to get that money.
Facts.
Like you said, I mean, what was it? What was it, $75 for the pay-per-view?
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
People ain't pulling that. People ain't pulling that in today's boxing world a lot of times. So, you know, he knows where the money is. He knows where it can be made. And the best way to make that money right now is to attach yourself to Mayweather. You stick with that. Smart
Facts.
Move. Smart move.
Facts. So, you know, he ain't no dummy. You know what I'm saying? He doing everything legit. He doing everything the right way. Shout out to, you know, Tank. Shout out to Devin Haney. You know what I'm saying? And salute to both them young brothers. They doing their thing the right way. But now it's coming to a point where these brothers are going to have to fight each other. It's coming to that point where Tank is going to have to fight Shakur. Tank is going to have to fight, you know, one of the winner of the Spencer Crawford fight. He going to have to fight one of them.
Yeah, that might. Yeah, maybe.
He going to have to fight one of them. And Shakur Stevenson is Shakur Stevenson and Devin Haney going to have to meet. They're going to have to meet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, boxing is in good hands right now.
Yeah.
Great hands right now. A perfect example. I think Tank is welterweight, and I think one of the Charlo brothers is what is it? Light heavyweight.
And
and the other one is middleweight, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Think so.
So, I wonder does Tank
These guys can go up and down in weight classes too so easily, bro.
Right.
You know, 154 to 147 and all of, you know, it's just, you know, it don't take much. It don't take much. And as these guys get older, like Devin Haney, he's 23 years old.
Baby.
Shout out to him for that, too.
Straight up.
23 years old, undisputed champion. Yeah. That's a big time accomplishment, man. You know, you deserve it. But yeah, as he gets older, your natural body becomes a man's body, right?
Yeah.
So as he gets older, he's 23. He's going to put on a little bit of weight and he's going to fill out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be fighting, you know, he'll step up from that lightweight on up to middleweight or you know, welterweight and things like that. He'll move in his class as well. So we'll see what happens, man.
Boxing is in good hands.
Yeah, definitely.
Boxing is in good hands, you know. I was worried about the state of boxing, but, man, it's like these young killers they was in the wings waiting. They was in the wings waiting. And that is a fact. So,
ain't
shout out.
Like heavyweights, though.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no heavyweights. Because all the heavyweights is playing in the NFL.
That's true.
Yeah, that's really what it is. All the heavyweights are middle linebackers in the NFL. Middle or outside linebackers in the NFL. That's where all the heavyweights went, folks. So if you're asking, if you're, you know, like, oh, we need another great heavyweight. Well, they in the NFL, man.
Yep.
You know, we got to keep watching the heavyweight division is trash, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Got Deontay, but it's lackluster. That dude with Anthony. Joshua.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's really nothing in the heavyweight division at this point.
With the Gypsy King, didn't he retire?
Gypsy King. Yeah, he retired. He finna do some. He finna start doing exhibitions, and getting paid. Like, you know, Floyd. It seemed like, you know, everybody wanted to clown Floyd Mayweather when he did the exhibition and fought Conor McGregor, right? But I think Floyd created a new wave.
Yeah,
I think he opened a new avenue to boxing due to the fact that, you know, nobody was on that. You know what I'm saying? And he like, man, I ain't got to have real professional fights. This could be sparring practice for me, and I can still make hundreds of millions off of this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
He like, I can still make hundreds of millions off this. So that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? That is crazy. I just look at it like it's a good deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But jumping off that, did you see? Okay, we're gonna hop into baseball real quick. You see? And you know, our crosstown nemesis, the White Sox, they came off of winning three straight, and then Tony La Russa caught a lot of flack for who he had at the top leading off.
Oh yeah.
What's your take on that, man? Because I'm not a Sox fan, You know what I'm saying? I rep the Sox when, you know, just a Chicago thing. You know what I'm saying? I root for the Sox or whatever if they make it to the World Series. You know what I'm saying? But I am a Cubs fan through and through at heart. You know, I'm Cubs through and through. So that's just what it is with me. Cubs, Bears, damn near synonymous, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. The Bears, the Cubs got their name from the Bears. So, you know.
It's a bear. That's what a Cub is.
It's a bear. It's a bear. So, you know, what's your take on that, man? Because it's like, you know, because we had the drama before with Tim Anderson. And now it just seems like something always going on with the Sox.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are tired, you know, Sox fans. And I'm going to preface my statement by saying I'm also a Cubs fan. But I pay attention to baseball, right? So I pay attention and I watch the Sox game. I watched one today, matter of fact, where they lost out. You know, they was up 4-0 and Cease played pretty good, you know, pitched pretty good, and they end up down 10-4 at one point and end up losing the game 11-9 or something like that. So after having a 4-run lead in the fifth inning, I think it was. So it was unexpected, right? But this is what the Sox have been this year. You know what I mean? The White Sox. And I think people in White Sox, you know, fans, they're a little bit frustrated with Tony La Russa. Yeah. They think he's a little bit past his time, right?
Yeah.
He's not really paying attention to, you know, when guys should come out, the decisions that he should make. He's making them slower, it seems like. That's what people are telling me. You know what I mean?
He over there in the dugout, sleep like a motherfucker. What? Who? Huh? Goddamn. What's his count? Oh, shit. Hold on. Why ain't no motherfucking body tell me?
Somebody get somebody up in the building.
Goddamn. Why the fuck you ain't wake me up? Like, you bullshitting.
Yeah, Tony, you are.
Yeah, straight up.
So he's either asleep or he drunk or whatever. I don't know. You know what I mean? So, you know, but yeah, he had Yasmani Grandal batting leadoff, and everybody's like,
what? He's tripping.
Grandal is batting like 125, dog. Like,
yeah.
Come on, like, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's a little bit frustrated with that whole situation. And as a whole, they got a lot of players that are batting under 200. And in baseball, that's bad, bro. You know what I mean? When you're batting under 200, and I think it's like about four or five players that they have that are batting below 200. Moncada, Grandal, Josh Harrison, you know what I mean? Just so many of them. So it's like, you know, guys need to step up and start doing something a little bit better than that. So that's, I think that's the biggest issue. The bats will probably come to life. They play in a terrible division. So I always tell people, just y'all be patient. The Sox will win that week central. It's like the NFC East. You know what I mean? Their division is. So, you know, it don't take much to win it.
At all. It's just, you know, it's kind of funny in a sense because, again, you know, something in your mind should have, you know, and that was the big debate when he was hired as the manager of the White Sox. It was like, you know, he's out of touch.
Yeah.
He's old. His age is going to be a factor. He's out of touch. And just the fact of the matter that, okay, you know, granted, the White Sox, they had a hell of a season last year. They got to the playoffs and then they wet the bed. You know, they pissed down their leg and, you know, see you later. You know, but it was the fact that they got there. Now with such high expectations for this season, and they're grossly underwhelming and underperforming, and pretty much not leaving much to the imagination on the future. You know, it's like, okay, some moves got to be made, but a lot of this is just basically off of managing.
Right.
A lot of their losses are coming off managing, and they're not even pitching. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, the pitch count is getting too high, man. You know, how many pitches must a pitcher go before you take them out? I believe once a pitcher eclipses about 140 to 150 pitches, that's about time you start wanting to look to take them out. Am I off here by a bit?
No, I mean, you said 140?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you had 140, that's a complete game, though.
Yeah.
I think in today's baseball world, you start looking at them when they get to around 80.
Okay.
You know, the third time around in the rotation, usually you go first round time around, and then by the fifth or sixth round, it seems like these guys don't pitch that long. You know, back in the day, like Fergie Jenkins for the Cubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 267 complete games.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There are pitchers that don't have any complete games. There are pitchers like that the Cubs have right now, and he went six innings. That's his longest game ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, man, Fergie did that 267 times. So, you know, it's just a different era in baseball, and these guys just, they don't last long, bro.
Facts.
They just don't last long.
Facts.
They get fatigued quick.
You know, not only that, but also, how do you feel about Joe Maddon? He got canned out there in Anaheim.
I'm not saying it was funny. I mean,
Mike Trout went on like a 20, what was it, a 20-something game hitless streak?
They lost like what I think they
1-0 to the Phillies. The 1-0 to the
straight losses.
Yeah, 1-0.
I think they were 10 games up at one point.
Yeah,
just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
and then they went on like a 14-game losing streak, and it just evaporated. And they was like, okay, we got to move on. Something ain't right. So obviously, there are some players that were disgruntled with, you know, his metrics or whatever he was doing in the locker room, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can wear on people. He could get on your nerves, kind of like David Ross, so over in Cubland right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
He kind of frustrates me with some of his lineups and things like that. And Joe Maddon is the same way, where he's kind of tweaking this and tweaking that and putting guys here and playing people out of position and, you know, all of that funny stuff, man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Keep people on their toes.
Yeah.
Players don't always like that, man. They want some consistency, too.
Facts. Now, you know, what's crazy about it is the fact that regardless of the season that Shohei Ohtani has been having, you know, he's been pretty much lights out. And then, you know, again, like you said, they were up 14 games, and now all of a sudden they're damn near last.
Right.
So it's like, damn, what's been going on? But it is what it is in baseball world, man. Switching gears over to the PGA. One of the hot topics that I wanted to discuss is the players leaving the PGA to join the LIV or Live Golfers events. Yeah. And these cats is getting the bag, okay? They getting paid, flat out getting paid. If I'm not mistaken, Phil Mickelson got $200 million to go play in the Live tournament, you know, with the golfers. Dang. But the PGA Tour suspends all Live golfers from all events. And to make matters crazy, even more crazy, Rocket Mortgage cut ties with Bryson over Live, because Bryson went and joined the Live tournament as well and left the PGA.
Wow, he did?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
well, I could see Phil Mickelson doing it. You know what I mean?
A lot of these guys are getting big money up front, guaranteed. And PGA, and what's something that I didn't know, as digging deeper into it, into the PGA, their money isn't guaranteed. Only thing that's guaranteed to them is endorsements. That's it under PGA.
Right. But that's what makes a golf tournament a tournament, though.
Yeah.
If you went in, you know, and it wasn't nothing to play for, it wouldn't make it as suspenseful as it is. Like the Masters.
Right.
And all of these tournaments that the PGA has, you know, they are what they are because a shot here or a shot there can mean the difference between getting $5 million for that tournament, coming in third place, or being tied for seventh place and getting $150,000. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the dramatics of it are huge, right? So, you know, and that's what it is. These players, let's be real though. These players on the PGA Tour, ain't none of them broke out there, bro.
Right. And that's that was one of the things that some of the guys on the PGA Tour was saying, like, none of them are out there broke, but at the same time, are you really going to pass up $100-200 million to go play in the Live tournament?
Yeah, I don't think anybody would pass it up.
Guaranteed, really, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is upfront money. Put your family in a good place, good situation, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, damn, they offering me. Like, the players that this Live tournament is taking from the PGA, they not giving them peanuts. They giving them upfront money in their account right then and there. That is hard to pass up for some what if with the PGA and endorsements. It's like, eh, you know. And then they try to say, oh, well, let's try to spin it here. And really, oh, they try to spin it and say, okay, the people that they're working for are the worst. They are, you know, they don't have the best morals. You know, they're still thinking in yesteryear with some of their beliefs and how they treat their people. And, you know, they don't go with all that LGBT stuff. They don't fool with that. You know what I'm saying? They kill people over that. Yada, yada, yada. Right. Who cares? Because let's not get on our moral high horse here. Right. And my thing is this, especially the PGA. Because for the PGA who never announces their fines and suspensions or anything like that, and they keep it closed, and Vijay Singh had to go out here and sue the PGA for, you know, for not being transparent. And once Vijay Singh took them to court and was like, okay, now let's open your books, and the PGA just gave Vijay Singh whatever he wanted and gave him that hush money, name your price. PGA Tour is not on any high moral ground here either. And also, folks, let me remind you that these big corporations that you and I work for and we all work for, guess what? They're not the best people. They're not. So let's not get on our moral high horse to start pointing the finger, okay? Because something ain't going our way. Because a lot of the top billionaires in this country didn't make it there by being nice.
Right.
They stepped on somebody at some point. You know, they cut some throats at some point in their life, okay?
Yeah.
And we'll do it again.
I agree with you 100% too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not one to say, you know, get on the moral high horse and say, you know, yeah, the people that you work for, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? Everybody has to make their money the way they make their money. It's hard to turn down that much money. If somebody's offering you $100 million, hey, come play in this tournament for a few years, whatever. It's hard to turn that down, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The money don't know where it's coming from.
I would like to see guys stay in the PGA just because, you know, I've grown up watching the PGA. I love the PGA, right?
Right.
You know, maybe it's time to do something like this or be proactive in that regard. But once again, bro, I just feel like it takes a lot. You know, you look at the guys who are going over there, Bryson DeChambeau, he ain't won nothing.
Right.
In a while, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's.
And he's getting, $100 million?
It's good for him to go over there.
Right.
Phil Mickelson, he's pretty much at the end of his career. He's not going to be in major contention for tournaments, you know, a lot of them going forward, right? At his advanced age. So yeah, for him, a big name to go over there and get to pay that, I could understand that, right? But like I said, it's so much that's tied to a tournament. How well are you going to prepare? How well are you going to try to play if you know that, hey, I'm going to get paid regardless of this tournament? It doesn't matter how I turn out. You know, it's just something there. Winnings, you know, it means something more in the PGA, in my opinion, than it would in the LIV tournament. It just means it means something else, man. When you can go out there and you can win those tournaments like the Masters or the PGA Open, you know, the U.S. Open, all of these different ones, when you can win those and really kind of, you know, set the bar or expectation for your game in those tournaments, it means more than that LIV tournament, because the guys are just going to go out there and they're just going to play around the golf like you or I would. You know what I'm saying?
And get paid.
It doesn't mean nothing. Yeah, and get paid, you know?
I can't knock them for it. Well, yo. How do you feel about LeBron, newly billionaire LeBron James, right? Said he wants a team in Vegas. Not while you playing, homeboy. So, you know, you can try to buy in, but not while you playing, buddy. At all. I mean,
no, not why you playing at all.
It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? They do have an arena out there for them in Vegas.
Yeah,
they do have a basketball arena out there for them in Vegas.
You got the summer league out there too.
Yeah, you already got a hockey team. You already got an NFL team. NBA team is coming soon. But my thing is, don't bring a Vegas NBA team until you bring the Seattle Supersonics back.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. You got to bring the Seattle Supersonics back, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
You do.
DK Metcalf is holding out. Holding out, folks. Look, I'm a Bears fan, and it's possible if the window is left open. We got, what, 25 mil left?
Yeah, we got like, 20, was it 23 or is it 25?
25.
Did it go up? It went up to 25. Okay,
hey, and guess who will take that 25?
Yeah, I mean, you know, DK will take a chunk of that. He'd like to see that, I'm sure.
I would love to see DK Metcalf in Chicago. I'm just saying. He's holding out. And again, the last time DK Metcalf was in Chicago, he was holding up the NFC Championship trophy back in 2010 as a young boy. His father was an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman for the Bears?
Offensive lineman.
He was an offensive lineman for the Chicago Bears, and they had won the NFC Championship heading to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
In 2005, I'm sorry, 2005, not 2010, 2005.
It would be nice for things to come full circle, right?
Yeah, damn nice. Like, you know, and I get DK Metcalf's point because, again, he's like, look, you're bringing in Drew Lock, which is
the booty.
Oh.
Straight up. So you bringing in Andrew Lock, right? And DK Metcalf is looking at this like, man, you're not finna diminish my numbers, which is something A-Rob should have did if this was what he was going to do. This should have been his course of action. Mm-hmm. But he's looking at it as you're not going to diminish my numbers with a quarterback that you trying to in a rebuilding year and a rebuilding quarterback who's not even a franchise quarterback. He's just our rebuild quarterback until we find our guy. And then you're going to try to use my numbers against me.
Oh, yeah. They
saying,
will.
Hey, look at your past season. It wasn't as great. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do, we're going to pay you in this tier instead of paying you in this tier, even though the last 4 years you were in this tier.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it until they pay you, DK. And if they don't pay you, make them trade you. Flat out.
Man, I mean, I agree with that. I agree with that because I'm of the mindset that I want guys to get paid.
Yeah.
As early in their career as possible.
Yeah.
DK is what, 24 years old?
Yes, sir.
Got to cash in. I want him to cash in immediately.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially while they're getting 30 mil a year.
And get that money. Get that dough. You know,
look
what
at
mean?
Cooper Kupp's deal. Jesus Christ.
Passing it out. Exactly. So, you know, you gotta be able to cash in. And I'm for it. I'm all for that. These teams, you know, and their fan bases believe. It's like they just believe. I say Dallas is the worst.
Yeah.
Dallas is the worst fan base because they will believe whatever Jerry Jones tells them.
Yeah.
Jerry
like,
Jones
like blind
says
sheep.
The sky is green and going to fall in on everybody within the next year. People will be preparing for that. You know what I mean? In Dallas.
Yeah.
So, you know, seriously, you know, these teams that you know, impact a guy's numbers. And it's going to happen. His numbers are going to be impacted. You're playing with Russell Wilson and you go from that to Drew Lock, and it's like, dang, I can see my numbers dwindling, you know, in real time. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
like,
for real.
You can see it, you know. So it's like, man, you know, I feel bad for the dude being in that type of situation, and it sucks, man, because this is the NFL. This is the landscape of the NFL. They're going to sit there and do that, and what they'll do is try to lowball him an offer. Same way the Bears did A-Rob, they lowballed him. He's not going to want to sign it. He'll probably test the free agent market and get paid, you know, high dollar if they don't franchise tag him. But when you get franchise tag, all bets are off then.
Yeah.
Everybody's not happy. Nobody's going to be happy. Agents ain't happy. Players ain't happy. Teams ain't happy. Teammates aren't happy because they see that. And they see, look, you got rid of Russ. DK is our guy. You're doing him dirty. Bobby Wagner's out the door. You did him dirty. You start to see what these organizations are doing.
Yes.
And now that's why players have no loyalty to these organizations, because the organizations have no loyalty to them. But fans can't understand that. because fans are loyal to the team.
Yep.
Fans are loyal, and they want their players to be loyal.
Yeah.
They don't care about the money because the fan is saying, look, I make $50,000. I make $60,000 a year, or I make $100,000 a year. You getting paid $2, $3, $4 million.
Yeah.
You getting paid $15 million. I don't care
that
you're not getting top dollar. You're getting paid more than me, and I'm paying my money to see you.
Yeah.
So that's the fan's perspective, and that's why these owners – in the NFL have been getting away with this for so long. It's robbery, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. Because the NFL doesn't even open their books for nobody.
Absolutely.
Nobody really knows how much the NFL makes.
Exactly. They just throwing a number out there to pacify you. Like, yeah.
Exactly.
And I think whatever the NFL reports, I think they make twice as much as that.
Man.
Because look at Roger Goodell's contract. Look at his contract.
$50 million.
You know what I'm saying?
He getting paid, you know, and we complaining about – wide receivers getting $30 million.
He gets $50 million a year.
$20 million. A wide receiver who's putting his body on the line, a running back who puts his body on the line and gets $5 million a year.
Yeah.
Right? And gets beat up and battered. And Roger Goodell's getting $50 million. But you know who pays Roger Goodell, right? Who
the
knows
owners.
Who his bosses are? The owners.
Yeah.
And they pay him to be the culprit. Because everybody blames Roger Goodell when he's only carrying out their best wishes.
That's it.
That's all he's doing.
So, hey, man. I mean, you know what? I think our next episode, we're going to really break down the Deshaun Watson issue. Because that's going to be like a very long, lengthy process.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to give it his due diligence. And we're getting to the logistics of everything. We'll talk about some of the... acts that were made public. We don't know if those are, again, we don't know if they're all accusations at this point. We don't know if they're true. And unlike the media, we're not going to say that these accusations are true. We're not going to paint him a certain way. We're going to look at him from both sides.
From both sides, exactly.
We're going to look at it from both sides. And again, as I've stated on this show previously, the Houston Texans were at fault.
Mm-hmm.
Because they fully had a hand in this. They knew what was going on. They knew what he was doing. Yeah. Deshaun Watson is at fault. Those young ladies are at fault. Everyone is not going without blame in this case and in this situation.
And that's the sign of that's responsibility that people should have.
Exactly.
People, you don't have the responsibility. Matter of fact, it is your responsibility to look at all the details of something and really decide on something instead of just going with what somebody else said or what this person said or he denied it or the team says this. You know what I mean? Don't. Look at it for what it is. Look at it for what it is and really, really be honest about it. We have a responsibility to do that because if we don't, then this world that's already jacked up even gets worse. Just being real.
Facts. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the part where we get into the segment where we give our favorite box of booty-os to the bootiest of the booty to ensure next week they will not be booty. Okay. My first and really my whole damn near entire initial box, I have to give it to a Mr. Jack Del Rio. You deserve a box of
the booty. Oh,
Jack Del Rio should be fired today for those comments. Should upright be fired. Because again, as soon as the NFL think they're making taking 10 steps forward, a comment like Jack Del Rio made about the insurrection on Capitol Hill just set the NFL back another 100 steps. That was, you know, you want to bring up Black Lives Matter and the George Floyd death and, oh, no buildings were being burnt down and raided and looted and none of that happened during the, I mean, if we're going to be real, come on, let's be real. I guess someone didn't. I guess Jack Del Rio didn't see the other part where, you know, the cop was killed, and you know the people were getting their eyes gouged out, and they're trying and they're yelling, "Kill! Let's find Nancy Pelosi. Let's kill her. Let's kill this person. Let's kill that person. I guess he didn't see none of that. I guess he didn't see the fact that, you know, they totally got buck wild and was looking to kill, as they did kill. And you say that that's not a big issue? It's nothing like how the black, like, come on, man. Totally two wrong incidents. They're totally different. Totally different. One was resulting in a black man's death by police brutality for why they, for why the riots happened, because the people were fed up and tired of the shit. And then the other one resulted because some orange motherfucker who was at president, who was at president, told y'all to go storm the Capitol so he can try to and take it back so he can get back in the White House. How is those the same? For that, Jack Del Rio, you lost all respect for me, and I could care less if you ever coach or be seen or heard from again. So, eat up.
Yep. You know, I'm gonna piggyback on it, man. And he was the guy who I had chosen as well. We didn't talk about this beforehand, but you know, he's the same guy that I chose to get a big box of that of the bootios. You know what I mean? And he deserves it. He deserves it. Oh. Yeah. The problem that I have with Jack Del Rio is that the comments that he made, the statement that he made, came after his Twitter, his tweet. So he tweeted something, and then he defended that tweet.
Double down
and defended that tweet with the statement in front of press cameras. That's where your heart is. I don't want to hear an apology at this point. Because if you were sorry about what you had said, you would have never defended it. You would have said, I shouldn't have tweeted that. You know what I'm saying? But that's where your heart is. That's what you think it was. You believe that's what it is. Don't apologize because the majority of people want you to apologize and have called you out on it. Don't apologize because of that, because it's not sincere. I don't want those type of apologies. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
It's got to be real. It's got to be real. Otherwise, what's it for? It's to save face. It's to do whatever. To me, that's you know, that's fake. That's not cool. And we can't forget six years ago, basically, Jack Del Rio, this is the same guy who basically called Colin Kaepernick a nigga.
Yes. Yes. You know,
people forget about that, right? So this is his MO. This is what it is. So he gets a box, and I'm just going to tack on to this. The Washington Commanders, they get a huge box.
The booty! Oh!
That organization is in so... It's just...
So much disarray.
So much disarray. I mean, you got this investigation. They served up John Gruden. I guarantee you they're hiding more information.
Oh, absolutely.
That should have been, you know, outed in those emails that they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing it. Daniel Snyder is Daniel Snyder, and we know what he's about, right? You had the you know, they finally made the name change and things like that and whatever, but you have this, you know, women and, you know, sexual aggravating, you know, situations that are going on. So much disarray going on in that organization. And to have this guy sitting here too, he should have been gone. He should have been disciplined. Something should have happened by now. NAACP is calling for him to resign or be fired over the situation.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to call on nobody's job, man, but I'm just being honest with you. He don't deserve one.
He don't deserve
Jack Del Rio don't deserve one.
And the fact that Ron Rivera is the head coach there, you know what I'm saying? That's, you would think Ron Rivera would have stepped forward. Chico would have said something. I don't know if Chico did say something.
I don't know.
But he got to get the hell on, man.
He got to do something.
Facts.
He got to move around.
Big facts. Around. Big facts.
But he gets that ball, man. This is his MO. This is who he is, bro.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It is what it is.
Absolutely. My last and final box of the booty O's goes to none other than those cheese heads up north, the Green Bay Slackers. You deserve a box of
the booty. Oh.
Reports have now come out that Devontae Adams was offered more money by the Green Bay Packers than by the Las Vegas Raiders. However, Devontae Adams decided to disassociate himself from Aaron Rodgers and from Green Bay and force his way out and go to Vegas. What is that saying to the Green Bay Packers? Slackers. And now they're looking at a wide receiver three in Sammy Watkins. He's nowhere near what he used to be. They're looking at him as their number one. Trouble in Packerland. Uh-oh.
Shots fired! Shots fired!
Fuck them. Suffer, biatch. Y'all get everything y'all got coming. And this is why I said the Bears is going to tap that ass week two.
I hope so. I'm
telling you, it's coming. It's coming.
Yes, sir. Let's get it.
It's coming.
Let's get it. I'm all for it, man. The Packers deserve every bit of the whatever's coming their way. Trust me, they deserve it all.
I can't stand them. I can't stand them.
And all the Packers fans, all of y'all, all of them.
I can't stand them. I can't stand them, not one bit.
I can't wait. And Aaron Rodgers is just going to ride it out and take that money, and y'all bent over backwards for him and lay down and, you know, bow down to Aaron Rodgers, basically.
Facts.
Gave him all that money.
And now he's going to die.
Nobody even likes him. Nobody even wants to play with him.
That's what he get. You know, that's what he get. You know what I'm saying? And did you hear about his new girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. She's like a witch, ain't she?
Yeah, what the fuck? Like, what's up with that crazy shit? Like, who the fuck is that? Who does that? Like, she's a witch? Like, Aaron Rodgers is on, like, he's doing LSD in between quarters. Like, dude is a, he done fell off the deep end for real. Like, dude on some other shit.
She's a witch, bro.
And I think her name is after a color or some shit, ain't it? Like, blue?
I think so.
Blue something. Like, you can't get no weirder than that. You can't get no fucking weirder than that.
Yeah, her name is, Blue of Earth.
What the fuck? Like, bruh, homegirl name. Like, let this sink in, folks. Homegirl name is Blue of Earth.
Get the fuck out of here.
Straight up.
She claims that she is a witch and medicine woman.
Self-proclaimed, right?
Self-proclaimed, yeah.
Damn.
Interesting character, to say the least, they say.
That's a goddamn shame.
Oh, man. They got video of her playing acoustic guitar.
Oh, my God. Okay. On that note, hopefully, everybody, we made your day a little bit bigger and a little bit brighter. Make sure to tune in with us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Go ahead and rock with us on definitely on Twitter, at The Big and Bright Show. Dan, go ahead and hit him with your handle, man.
At Dan Goodwin the Third.
Right, and you can get with me at Nestradamus1 on Twitter. For that, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and lead us out. Deuce and Summer.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time.